Hello again, this is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're back live again tonight. After I got back from the long trip, I've been doing the live shows now. I hope everyone had a happy new year. And we're off to the new year now of 2009. And someone told me the other day that 2009 is going to be a powerful year, that it's a year of manifestation. And those in numerology know that 2009 comes up to the year, to the number 11, which is a very powerful master number. So we're hoping everybody out there is going to get everything that they want, that they can create. Well, I've got a special guest tonight. Her name is Justine Alessi. And she's one of the authors that my company has published. But she is a master tarot reader. And she's been to our conferences, and I just think the world of Justine. She is the most accurate tarot reader I have ever seen. And I don't know, Justine, I put you in the class of a psychic, too, because to me, the cards are just a tool, because you have such abilities that go beyond just the cards.
Well, you know, I think that the tarot is originally intended to do that. It gives messages. And as a reader, you're just interpreting messages. Therefore, yeah, I agree with you. I think that you're looking at 50-50, you know, the tarot as well as your own psychic ability when you use them. And I really found that I've been using them now for over 20 years, and the longer I use them, the more informative they become.
Yes. Before we go, let me give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in and ask questions while we're on the air. Okay, the toll-free number, in case you want to call in, is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Okay, now, Justine, let's give a little bit about your background, because I think it's been a couple of years since I had you on.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. I'm just a regular person, just like, you know, I found over the years, having worked in this field now professionally for the last 20 years, and then having been, thanks to you, published as an author of the tarot, most people who are, I use the word intuitive, I think, a little more than psychic. I like the word better. They tend to be regular, everyday people, and I think what other people tend to look for, they look for people to manifest as, you know, in some sort of an esoteric way, but that's not the case. You look at yourself, and, you know, I know you and you know me, and we're just regular ladies who are, you know, going to the supermarket just like everybody else. But the specialness is the good fortune that we have to have been gifted like we are gifted, and it is indeed a gift. I believe that every person in the world has intuitive energy. I just believe that some people are more in tune with it than others. And you know yourself, as many years as you've been doing regressions, you only get better because you just learn more. And the tarot speaks to me. And, you know, if I would have said those words in 1950 or 1960, people would have thought I was crazy. But it really does. It speaks to me. And I realize now that most people who are in a metaphysical practice are being spoken to by their tool. And my mission is to bring the tarot out, to tell people, no, this is not a gypsy fortune-telling game. This is a truly, deeply spiritual method, and it's a tool, and it's combined with your intuition and the use of the cards and the way they spark reaction in your mind. They just set off sparks of reaction and knowledge that you have no way of knowing, that you just know as you look at the cards. And my goal and my mission is to make the tarot available to everybody. There is no reason everybody can't get something from the tarot, whether to read it as a occupation, which is, you know, what I do, or to write about it, or just for their own daily use. I have many people who use the tarot as a daily meditative tool.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I do want to say is Justine is different than the other tarot readers because she has found a way to bring the meanings of the cards into the modern-day world. You know, a lot of the meanings were written so long ago. They go way back to the olden days. And that's the way the interpretations are still done by most readers. But Justine has brought them into the modern day and applying them to the way things are now. That's what makes a difference in her readings. And in her book, it's called The Rebirth of the Oracle, she gives all of these modern meanings. And I think that's what sets you apart, Justine.
Thank you. You know, and that was part of my, you know, I mean, and somebody like you, you understand when I say I have been told or, you know, I feel like, and everything is intuitive. And when I started to read tarot, it spoke to me. I was given the tarot as a gift. And when I looked at them for the first time, I have no idea why. I understood them. And to me, that speaks so much of past life because I was brought up in the 1950s, Italian Catholic, you know. There wasn't any kind of, no part of my world included tarot or astrology or runes or any of the things that, you know, that now are just everyday commonplace items. And as a reader, you know, I find the more I delve into the tarot, the more knowledge I have. And the knowledge I'm getting is it's accurate knowledge. It's always accurate to the place where sometimes it amazes even me. When I tell somebody this certain thing will happen and they're like, there's no way that will happen. And I say, that's fine. You know, this is what the cards say. It doesn't, you know, but you just give it a chance. Well, then it'll happen. If a day goes by when somebody does not call me and validate me, it's a day that there are no phones left in the world because people will call me and say, oh, my gosh, I just wanted to tell you, you told me this, 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 and this happened. And I tell people, it's not me, it's the cards. To me as a reader, I'm an interpreter is what I am. For instance, say you had a friend that lived in Spain and they wrote you a letter in Spanish and you didn't understand Spanish. Well, you would get somebody who understood it to interpret the letter for you. To me, the tarot reading, it's a letter from the world beyond or the world inside of us, intuitive. I can interpret it. Why I have been blessed like this, I have no idea. But I have had so many experiences that are out of the realm of probability, and I just know things. And sometimes it amazes me. To this day, it still amazes me. As I'm sure you run into the same thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah, like you're saying, the day goes by you don't get a phone call. Well, with me, we get hundreds of emails, and it's the same thing.
You know, right, the same thing, yeah, phone calls, emails, letters. People are so wonderful to me, that especially people who over the years have, you know, something has happened that I have, you know, told them about. And sometimes people are grateful. That is the word I want to often use as a reader. They're grateful so that because they know what to expect. And I think that kind of gratitude is not so much about me as it is the cards. And what I want everyone to do is to understand, grab a deck. I mean, there's beautiful decks out there, and they're not evil. One of the things that I would like to talk about tonight, there's three things I'd like to talk about, if you don't mind. One of them is, I'm sorry?
Justine, I think that beeping meant there was a caller. Is there a caller, Don?
Yes, there is.
Okay, I heard the beeping. Wait a minute, just let her ask her question first. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just curious if you could tell me if you saw, give me a reading for 2009 with the tarot.
One of the things that I have been seeing, and it's a repetitive thing, everybody's different because my readings are extremely individualized, but one common thing, last year seemed to be a really difficult year for most people, including myself, health-wise and financially and job-wise. Many people have had many, many problems. And what I have noticed is that in Virgo, in the tarot, around August, September, the Wheel of Fortune, the moon, and then the good cards, the cards of the Ace of Power, the Ace of Swords, they're all showing up around August, September, letting me know to tell people it might be difficult now, but by this fall, you will begin to see a definite upward trend. Don't worry. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about money, because that seems to be what people are concerned with our economy, and rightly so. But I'm going to tell you, I know from the cards, by September, give or take a few days here or there, everybody is going to start to lift upward. I feel it. I know it to be true.
September 2009.
Just to hang in there.
Sorry, hon?
You meant September 2009.
Yes. What did I say? I'm sorry. Yeah, I did mean 2009. This year.
So you want to try to hang in there by fall of this year, everything will turn around?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that, you know, right now I've got quite a few people who are really frightened. They're frightened for their career. They're frightened for, you know, to put food on their table. They're frightened. And somewhere in the deepest recesses of my intuitive self, I know that by the fall of this year, you will not have to be concerned. And it's not a negative not concern. It's very, very positive. I realize that, you know, it takes a while for things. I mean, we've entered the 1,000 years of peace as of, March 8th, 2007. We entered the 1,000 years of peace, the age of Aquarius. And so we're in the beginning stages of Aquarius. However, I know in my soul that this year, at the end of the year, things are going to start to be better. Where next Christmas, you're not going to have to worry if you really should buy that or you shouldn't buy that. Or if maybe this isn't a good time to, you know, look at a career change. Everything's going to change. I know it. I feel it.
Oh, but you know, one of the people, thanks for calling.
Yep.
But you know, that, or did she have something else she wanted to say? Okay. But you know, that's one thing I tell people, though, is when they are afraid of things and fear things, then you draw that reality towards you.
Oh, that's so true.
It's what you focus on.
Well, when you're doing regressions, Dolores, are you getting that fall of the year turnaround?
I haven't got an exact date, but they're all saying that everything is fine. It's all in what you focused on. If you're focusing on, you know, that becomes your reality. If you're focusing on you're going to have a bad time, everything is going to be bad for you, you'll draw that towards you. But if you're focusing that everything is going to be wonderful, that'll be your reality.
Well, you know, and people, we're fortunate because we're in the arts of metaphysics, and we know that. But most of the people that you get don't know that. They don't know, you know, how to deal with it or how to do it. And one of the things with the tarot is it's a tangible object. I can say to them, get a deck of cards. Take a look at this card, the Ace of Swords, most important card in the tarot, because it portends power, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. It's a power sword. And I tell people, there it is. There's the picture. Think about that picture because it gives them a tangible object. The tarot cards are an object between the reader and the client. And I can pull a card out and say, look, and I personally like the Universal Weight deck. Now, there are tarot decks out there. But I like the Universal Weight deck because it's very easy to see why the card says what it says. And in the past, you have a call now?
I don't know. Was there a beep?
Yeah, there was a beep. Do you want to get that or do you want me to finish this? I'm sorry?
Let's just go on then, because if it beeps again, then we know there's definitely somebody there. I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what I find that with the tarot is that when people are, it has a tangible between them, I can pick up the card and say, this is what this means. And they can look at the Universal Weight deck and see why. And lately, in last year, what I started to do in my readings is I write down the card. I tell people, as a reader, we are very powerful. When you're a reader, you can tell anybody anything you want to tell them, and that is true. And so, and they don't know, you know, and sometimes, you know, people don't use that correctly. They use it to manipulate. They use it for intentions that are not pure. So what I've been doing is most people that come to me have my book. And if they don't, you know, they can get it. And I write down the card that I'm seeing it from. If I say to you, you're going to get a new job and it's going to be in a school, and I mean, that's how specific tarot is, and you're going to have this job in May, I can show you with cards, I can pull the cards out and say, okay, this is the school card, this is the new job, and the money. I can tell them everything about it. And if they want to, they can go take a look at my book. I write them all down for them, just the names of the cards. And then they can go home, and if they want to, they can look at my book and see why I say what I say. And it's been very successful. My clients love it. And a lot of them carry their papers around with them. And then the next time they come, we compare notes and see, you know, how we've come along with it. And one of the things I'd love to talk to about tonight are death and the devil, those two cards. Simply because those have given the tarot such a negative connotation for the past centuries. Tarot's been around that they can record since the 12th century. There's a lot of, you know, there are many different schools of thought of where it came from, et cetera. So I kind of go with the Egyptian school of thought that the tarot was used by the priestesses in Egypt and the priests in the temple to resolve conflict. It was used to tell, you know, to resolve problems. And it, over the years, it evolved that during the 12th century, or I'm sorry, the 14th century, the Renaissance, the cards made their way into Europe from Egypt, and the French and Italian painters loved to paint the tarot. Well, because it spoke, you know, it speaks from the subconscious, and people who are artistic love the sort of thing that triggers the subconscious. Well, our society is based on its religion, and if you looked at society during the Renaissance, particularly in France and Italy, we're looking at strong Catholic Christian. They looked at symbolism of tarot, and they said death and the devil. Well, from there came the worst thing that could have ever happened. Ironically, the Egyptians didn't believe in death or the devil. They believed in reincarnation. But what do these cards really mean? The death card has never, never meant physical death. There is nobody powerful enough on this earth to tell somebody when they're going to die or somebody that they love is going to die. I tell my clients, if you encounter a reader who says you're going to die, get up and walk away. Two reasons. One, they are assuming the power of God. That is not who they are. And two, they really don't understand the tarot. The death card is an event in your life that is so majorly transformational that it will affect the four areas of life as depicted in the tarot by the suits of the cards. Those four areas are your day-to-day activities, your finances, your personal relationships, and your power. Those, thus, the four suits of the tarot. Wands, day-to-day activity. Swords, power. Cups, relationships. Pentacles, finances, possessions, money. When all four of those things... I'm sorry?
I've always said that, yeah, the death card means the death of something, not the death of a person. The death of a...
Right, and I've actually gotten to the point where I don't even say the word anymore because it's such a major transit in your life. All it is a transit, but it's a huge transit. For something to change that big, think about it. What would change anybody's life? Now, today, for most people, their first death card is graduation from high school. However, I am seeing, I've been studying, you know, a lot of sociology, and I am seeing a trend toward a fatherless society. A great many children, I see teenagers who are maybe between 15 and 16. I have a granddaughter named Mary Elise who is 16, and she and her friends were somewhat interested, so I devised a reading to use for younger children, younger people, younger, you know, young adults.
Yeah, teenagers. And,
yeah, and so I noticed that the death cards occurring are when their parents divorce. It's almost as if it's epidemic that these kids in this age group do not have double parent families, and so. Unfortunately, their first death card, the event in their life that changes their day-to-day activities, their finances, their relationships, and their power is not through them, but rather through their parents. However, in a perfect world, the usual death card is you get out of high school. From that point in life, you start to decide your future. You decide, am I going to go on to college, or am I going to get a job? Am I going to get married? Am I going to travel to another country? You start making your decisions. Marriage is a death card because if indeed you do decide to get married to somebody, think about your life. Think of the death card. Changes your day-to-day activities, absolutely. Your finances, of course it does. Your personal relationships.
Now that's somebody.
And your power. They're all changed because of marriage. Thus, a divorce, same thing. If you have a child, having children is a death card. Not because of physical death, it has nothing to do with it. It's the end of a way of being to go to the next level. And if you didn't have death cards, indeed, you would be isolated in a room somewhere with no action in your life.
Sorry.
We have a...
Yeah, there was a
caller. We have a beeper with Eric Squeak.
Yeah. Is there somebody there?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what can I do for you?
I was calling to see where do you see my love life going in 2009?
Now, right there is something that I do not do. One of the things that I stress is people have to handle the cards. There is no possible way that somebody can just, not at least not me. When you handle cards, that's where you get your information. And without you handling the cards, how would I predict your psyche? The cards are intended for the client, or, you know, you as the querent, to handle them so that your energy's on them, and then I interpret your energy. I don't reach out like that into the universe. I don't have that power to tell people what's going to happen to them without the cards. Now, if you had a deck of cards in your hand, I could tell you lots of stuff about your love life, but you sound pretty optimistic, and, you know, like Dolores says, what we believe in is what happens. So I would like to say to you to keep your optimism that's in your voice, and I'm sure you'll have a lovely 2009.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your honesty.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway,
when we have that beep, there is somebody there then.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was your beep or mine. Anyway, back to the death card. So we have marriage, we have divorce, we have having children, moving across the country, changing careers. You know how many of us want to win the Powerball, the millions? That's a death card. If you ever won that much money, can you imagine how it would change your day-to-day activity, your finances, your personal relationships, and absolutely your power? So even something as unlikely but as amazing as that would be is a death card, and it's all that it's ever meant. And now I'd like to also, if we have a little bit of time, I want to talk about the devil, because my goal is to bring people to the tarot as a tool of enlightenment. And those two cards, death and the devil, stand in the way. It's unbelievable. People will come to me for the first time, and I will never enter a reading for the first time with anybody without telling them about death and the devil, because I could not imagine what it would be like to have somebody reading my cards and I didn't know anything, and I looked on the table and there's a death card or a devil card. It's got to be frightening. So I try to, I always explain it the first time. The devil is not a card of the devil. The devil are our own demons. I'm sure anybody that's, you know, old enough remembers somebody saying he or she is fighting their own, his or her own demons. And that's what the devil card is. The devil is what we do to ourselves to prevent our own growth, our own demons. For most human beings, the card represents anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear stops more people from doing what they want to do, becoming what they want to become, than all physical problems combined. Greed, anger, envy, guilt, grief, addictions, obsessions, those are all devil cards, and people have devil cards because we're people. As a reader, my job and the job of any good reader is to perhaps identify that devil card for people, because you know in identifying the problem that the problem's solved. And I look upon the devil card as something that people have them. I mean, you can't be a human being without having some negativity somewhere at some point in your life. Now, you might not have a devil card in every reading. You might not have one for 20 years. Sometimes you might have one for 3 consecutive readings. Who knows? But what you do as a reader is you work through that devil card. You try to pinpoint, and you can. If you're a good reader and you're accurate, you can pinpoint what it is that's holding that person back. Like the young woman I just spoke to, she had a lot of optimism in her voice. My theory would be if I were to read her cards, she would be have a lot of optimistic cards because she wants things to be happy. And sometimes the devil card is simply somebody's belief that they cannot be happy. You would be amazed at how many people are out there like that with no belief in themselves or the joy that comes in living. So with the devil card, we have to say, okay, this is what's holding us back. Let's get past this. Let's identify this. Let's move forward. That's what makes a good reader. When you've identified death and the devil for people, they're not afraid anymore. They look forward to it because you're actually getting into the nitty-gritty of problem solving. Carl Jung, who was a 20th century psychiatrist, used the tarot to define archetypes.
and he used Death and the Devil just like I told you. And a lot of Jungian psychiatrists today use tarot like that.
We got another caller there. Let's just take it.
Okay.
That beep comes on, that means there's somebody there. Let's go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, how can I help tonight? Nice
Hi.
To talk to you. Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
I sure
yeah.
can.
Well, I'm calling from New Zealand, just so you know.
That's amazing. You know, I'm in Ohio, and I think Dolores is in Arkansas. We're all in a different place. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I just came back from New Zealand.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go see you because I'm further down in the South Island, and where you were was still far away from me. But, Dolores, I just wanted you to know that I've read your books, admired you, respected you for years, and promoted you when possible when I did research in television and all kinds of things. I just, across the spectrum, I just have nothing but admiration.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure.
And she deserves every bit of that compliment. Truly an amazing person.
Now, I actually tuned in on the internet. I always try to catch the show, and I just finally have caught it this time. And I wasn't sure if you were doing readings or not. You were talking about doing readings, but that you don't do them unless you have the client in front of you. Is that what we're doing
That's
today?
That's correct. It's not possible to do a reading unless the person
right.
has hands on the cards. I have had people. In fact, last time I was in Arkansas, Julia, who is Dolores' daughter, as you know, I wanted to do a reading for her, but we were so pressed for time, we were overwhelmed, and I couldn't. So we got a deck of cards, and I said, Julia, take these and shuffle them like crazy, and when I go home, I'll lay them out and I'll read them for you. And that's what I've done for people that I can't be with at that moment. You know, done
well,
a bit of a long
time. So I'm not
reading.
Able to call in, actually, for I'm not calling in for a reading, I guess. I was hoping maybe I'd be able to call that. For that, is this just to call in and speak? Because I actually do have something to say to that, which is funny. I read tarot myself, and I do have to say I disagree with you. I think that everyone probably reads differently, and I was listening to why you said that was for you, and you said you got the energy from the cards. For me, when I read, and I do have a client long-term that lives in, well, he actually moves all over the place, and I always read for him. And we've tested my readings for him for years. Most people that I read for are in person, but I have read for pretty much quite a few people that aren't. And for me, it's because it's that the information rests outside of both myself and anything physical. To me, it's the information is sitting there in sort of a sphere, and I'm able simply to contact it by asking to and by being in contact with that person. Also clearing that room so that nothing else interferes with the information, clearing the space I'm in, asking the person to do that for themselves. And as long as they're amenable, they want to be read, and that I ask my guides to guide me and to help me find the information I need for them, I do use the cards and I need the cards, but the energy isn't about the person touching them. It's simply, you know, I guess it's off the plane or off the material plane, and I simply go reach it, find it, and transmit it to them. So that's
yeah,
just for what it's worth.
Their own belief system, and I respect that. I respect that everybody has their own belief system, and I hold with mine just because I like people to
yeah.
handle the cards. I like the one-on-one.
I think that, obviously, you know, everybody can do things in a different way, and so it's
right.
just good for people to know that it can be done, perhaps by some people. So that if they do get offered
absolutely.
A reading, that
and
it isn't in person.
I do agree with that. I just don't do that. But and like you said, if I know somebody real well, and I will make a little bit of a concession here. If somebody I know real well calls me and says, you know, I'm thinking about getting a new job. Can you flip a few cards and tell me what you think? Then I can do that. But
mm-hmm.
if it's somebody I've never laid eyes on, no, I cannot do that. I have to have the cards for, you know, with them and the cards. And actually, I teach tarot, and I teach that, too. You know that it is, it's a very, tarot reading is a personal thing. You have a gift that's given to you in the way that it's given to you. And I, you know, I totally respect your gift.
Mm-hmm.
What's the main thing?
Same back at you.
Thank you, honey.
The main thing is if it works, it's that she's using it and it works for her. That's the main thing.
Exactly
okay.
right. We all
you
have
really,
our way
you,
of doing things.
You do know when it works. You know.
Oh, you do.
You do. Do you have anything else you want to ask Justine?
Well, I'm sorry. I fill me in. How can is it just about doing readings? Is that what you're talking about today?
I'm talking about other uses for tarot and my own interpretations and how people can use the cards for themselves as well as for other people. You know, it's not, you don't have to be so-called psychic to use tarot cards. Tarot cards are for the masses. And my goal is for everybody to have a deck. It's sort of like having your prayer book or your runestones or your rosary or, you know, whatever it is. Having a tarot deck is another spiritual tool on a path to enlightenment, which we are starving for in this century. We are starving. And
well,
we need
I will add it's something I won't keep you on all real long, but I will add a quick personal affirmation of that, which is that's exactly what happened to me. You're absolutely, people need to listen to you and believe that they can do it, because basically I was not a reader at all, and I made friends with a wonderful person named Daniel, who was a very talented psychic. He really didn't even need cards. He just sort of jumped off from the cards. And he did readings, and we became friends because I was very curious and I had a lot of questions about how psychics operate and if people... I wanted, you know, to talk about psychic etiquette and do people try to impose on you too many times and things like that. And we became friends, and I asked him, who reads for you? And he turned the cards around on me and said, you do. Go ahead. And I had never read anything. I hadn't studied the tarot. And I go, come on, you know, you're joking. And he said, no, really, you can do it. And you know, I'll show you how. And he simply showed me over by example, and then he had me do it, and haltedly sort of at first, but more and more. And eventually I was confident because I would give him readings that helped him. And eventually, unfortunately, Daniel died. He's still with me in spirit. But he taught me how to do that. He gave me techniques, and it took a few years, and I was interested in the tarot, and I studied it, and I studied the symbols, just like you're talking about today. And I did it more and more and more, and eventually I was really conversant. I did it as a favor for friends, and then eventually I did it a little bit professionally at a low thing or maybe a donation, and then eventually I had clients. So it really can build up from, and I was a young adult before I ever first did it. I was probably in my early 20s.
I was 20 years old the first time I took a deck of cards.
Oh, I was just going to say, you can come from completely not knowing and learn to do it, and I'm so glad you're telling people this.
Well, thank you, because it's my whole purpose, you know, with the tarot is everybody get a deck because you need things. Everybody needs things to help them along the path of life. There's nobody that can just exist without them, and tarot is a beautiful helper. I have classes that I give, and they're not, it depends upon the client, you know, the class, but what I've done over the past year, I've chosen 7 readers in the classes that I've had that I know are very good. I can feel how when they're doing readings in the class and the way they're picking up and what they're contributing. Well, about 15 years ago, I had a man come to me for a reading, and we were talking, and I asked him what his occupation was, and he was a forensic psychiatrist. And I said to him, what brings you to me? And he said, well, you're the last answer. And he said, after you've explored the physical world, you've explored the psychological world, what's left but the spiritual world? And he's right. And so we call the group The Last Answer. And there are 7 women and myself that I have personally trained. Because what happened last year in Arkansas was when it really came home to me. I was at Dolores' conference, and I spoke and, you know, talked to the group. Well, what was that, Dolores? Maybe 150, 200 people there? There was a lot of people.
Yeah, there was about 200 people. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. Well, after I got done, they all wanted me to do a reading for them. Well, I could no way do that many readings. I was there for a couple of days. So I don't like to say no to anybody, so I did as many as I could cram in. And the first day, I did 13 of them. I was so sick the next day, or that night, I could barely, I was absolutely sick, because it took too much out of me. So what I decided to do was train these people in my method. And the Alessi method is not, it's not like everybody else's. It's different. It's more of letting the person in you interact to solve the problem. That's how I would describe it. So I've taught my method to these 7 women intensely every single week we meet. And now we call The Last Answer. And so when I go anywhere now, if any of the women want to come, and I can't possibly do 200 readings, I would be it's impossible. Then if somebody wants a reading with my method, with somebody who's trained by me, they can use the, you know, you have one of the girls from The Last Dancer do it, and they're all excellent. Personally trained for this year, and I will continue to train. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm very pleased with the results. And you're right. Everybody can use tarot, but I have noticed that some people have a little bit more of a gift. And I think the gift isn't so much in the intuitiveness. I think we all have that. But it's in the personality. You've got to have an outgoing personality, and you've got to be unafraid to say what you think. And there are many readers who are ego-driven, and you know this for your, you know, you've run into people like that. They're so ego-driven that what they say has to be absolute. And even if it's not what the person wants to talk about, it's more to feed the ego of the reader. That's not the kind of readers I want promoting my method. I want readers who are down in there helping people, helping them see. Just, you can use the cards to absolutely see the subconscious and see what's stored in there. And you can change anything that you want to change. Sometimes somebody's reading isn't, you know, the most positive thing in the world. Well, I'm not going to sit there and say something horrible. I'm going to say to them, look, this doesn't look very positive, but this is what the cards say you can do to change this. Because in truth, the cards will never leave you backed up against the wall. Never. They will always give you alternate answers. I've never known them not to. And sometimes it's not what people want to hear. But, and I run into that, I want to say, most often with relationship issues. The top three questions in the tarot, you may find this amusing. Will I ever have love? Will I ever have money? Will I ever lose weight? Those are the top three. And the love thing, you know, sometimes they're in a relationship with a person who's not good for them, and they want you as a reader, and many unscrupulous readers will continue to have this person come back to them and say things like, well, I can burn candles for you, or I can cast a spell, and this person's going to change, and he's going to love you, or she, or whatever. Well, to me, that's not even true. There's no truth to that. If the relationship's bad, I say it's not a good relationship. However, if you choose to stay in this relationship, this is what will happen. And I've gone, you know, whatever the prediction might be. However, if you decide to leave this relationship, this is what's available. Sometime nothing else is going to be available for 2 years. Sometime it's never going to be available. But most likely, I would say 99% of the time, when you let go of one negative, you will have another positive enter, because it's the law of Newton's law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And I tell people, if you let go of the bad relationship, you might be alone for a while. Therein, identifying the devil card, a lot of people's idea of the devil, what holds them back is the fear of being alone. It's fear. And if you can say to somebody, yes, you're going to be alone, but it's only going to be for about 6 months, and then in a social situation, you're going to meet a person who, and then I go into the description. I don't know if you've read my book or not, but for anyone who has read it, the majority of the book is concentrated on the court cards of the tarot. What I did is I interviewed literally thousands of people, and I arrived at archetypical personality types for each of the 16 court cards, and they are accurate, dead on. They're dead on. Don't you agree, Dolores?
Yeah, I do.
With the accuracy of the court cards.
Everything you have ever read for me has always come true, and it's always very
The identity thing, like I say you're the Queen of Wands or whatever, you know that part? That's the part that sets my book apart. And if you're a reader, it's nice to, you know, if I say to somebody, say you're a woman and you're looking for a relationship, I say you're going to meet a King of Wands. Well, I'm not just going to leave the person there. I will therein go into the description of the King of Wands, or for the man, the Queen of Wands. And I'll do one for you right now. I'll do the Queen of Wands for you. A lot of times people, you know, and this person doesn't have to be a love relationship. Maybe it's going to be somebody who's going to help them through their life. Maybe it's going to be a new friend or whatever. But when I see the court card, I will put down, you know, the cards are laying there. I'll actually pick the card up. I will show my client. I'll say, this is your next relationship. This is the Queen of Wands. The Queen of Wands is the Queen of Clubs in a regular deck of cards. She is an earthbound queen. The analogy is a tree. She is always there. She is always helping. She's always giving to other people. She spreads her arms wide over many, many people, and people walk right past her and take her for granted because she is the Queen of Wands. She is the most loved queen in the tarot because her life is spent in the service of other people. The Queen of Wands is the healer, the caretaker, the nurturer, and the teacher. Therefore, any occupation that involves the medical field, teaching, animals, kids, food, the earth, any of the nurturing sciences, that's the right job for the Queen of Wands because she's going to do it for free. She might as well get paid for it. But you find the Queen of Wands in all occupations, and no matter where you see her, no matter what job she does, she's a worker. She's my worker bee. She's the one that doesn't stop. When I wrote Rebirth of the Oracle, I did quite a few interviews, and everything that's in there on the court cards is done on statistics. For instance, health. One, people are healthy people because they don't believe in sickness. They don't have time. They are so busy in their world that to be sick is just an annoyance to them. So they say, well, it'll kill me or go away, and it generally goes away. The common ground, 74% of people under the wand energies have problems with their joints, most often their knees or their fingers. Well, doesn't it follow? It makes sense to me. If you're always on your feet running around taking care of everybody, you're going to wear out your joints. That's the
common
ground.
Well, my question, if the wands are earth, and what are then is the Queen of Pentacles?
Oh, no, I don't mean earth. I don't mean earth like earth sign. I mean earth bound. You know, down to earth people. Because okay. I don't correlate like fire signs with one. Some people do, and sometimes it does seem to be that way. But I don't find that to be an absolute. I just find an archetype is what I'm talking about. Queens of Pentacles are very meticulous people. These are people who have a drive to succeed. These are people who are very much perfectionists. If their name's on it, it's perfect. They're creative. They're intellectual. They're artistic. Those are Pentacle people. And back to Queen of Wands, in money, they're frugal, but they're not cheap. They earn their own money. And one of the things I found with the Queen of Wands is that no matter who she's married to, I don't care if she was married to Donald Trump, she would still work. These women like to have their independence, and they like to have their own money.
Don't you find that a person like perhaps represents in different times in their life a different archetype? For example, I felt that sometimes the Queen of Wands has fit me when I've done a reading for myself, or sometimes the Queen of Cups has fit me, maybe more because of that situation that I was finding myself in.
It may well be, too. We all have accoutrements of all four queens. All women do. And a woman who has equal accoutrements is a high priestess. But we all tend to lean toward one. And now, I say people, if they're going to swing between, it may be two that they kind of, they really have a lot of that archetype. If you read, you would see what I mean. It doesn't mean that you don't have the intuitiveness of the Queen of Cups or the artistic creativity of the Queen of Pentacles. It just means that, as a rule, you respond as a wand archetype. And so when you get to relationships with the Queen of Wands, she is the most often divorced queen in the tarot. Now, that doesn't mean if you're a Queen of Wands, you have to get a divorce. But what they told me and what holds to be true is the reason so many of them ended relationships, I shouldn't even use the word divorce, but you know what I mean, is because, A, they were tired of being the other person's mother, and, B, that no matter how much they gave, it was never enough. I heard that answer literally thousands of times, and they were all from wand people because they're the givers. So if I have a young woman who's the Queen of Wands looking for love, I say make sure you marry a giver because you want to be with your equal. So what you can do, not only with my book but with the tarot, is when you match the archetypes, you can look for what suits you, what you need. Because people who are cup people do not need to be involved in a relationship with a needy person. Because if they are, their whole life is going to be about that other person's needs. You have
metaphysically, you can choose a life where you are involved in being with a needy person so that you give to them and learn that side of life, right?
Absolutely. But what you're doing with tarot and using it, you know, in your best interest, what you're going to do is you're going to aim for making yourself as happy as you can be. Because God, the universe, wants us to be happy. The universe wants us to be successful. It wants us to be healthy. It wants us to be wealthy and wise. And people who are not are choosing that. And with tarot, you can absolutely tell the person, well, this is why this and this is why that, down to the finest detail. I've given readings that sometimes the whole reading is going to focus on one thing. Other times it's going to focus on 10 things. I don't know. I never know when I lay them out. But I do have people ask questions. That, as a reader, is another thing I wanted to talk about. When you're a reader, your best and most accurate readings will come when you say, what is it? What do you want to know? Ask me, tell me what you want to know. And if they want to know about relationships, okay, fine. If they want to know about their job, fine. I'll focus there for them, but I will also touch on every other thing that's in that reading. I give them a full reading, everything they want to know plus whatever else is in there. And back to the archetypes, that's how I use it, and that's what the majority of my book is about. And for some reason, I think it's because of repetition, I can go into a crowd, and I don't care if there's 300 people there. I can walk through the crowd and tell every single person what their court card representative is. Dolores loves when I do that, don't you, Dolores? She always has me doing it.
Another peep, somebody else is on the line. Let's see what they want.
Thank you very much, and good luck with your system.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. Who else is on the line?
Hi. Hi, this is Justine. What can I tell you? What can I do for you? No?
Well, there we
are.
What? Okay, but
I don't hear anybody.
Okay, Justine, we got to watch the clock because right about before, about 5 to 8, I've got to go off. So we got about 5 minutes.
I did hit on the things I wanted to hit on was the death and the devil card. That was real important to me tonight. And I did want to talk about the last answer. I think now you have a beep.
Yeah, now we got a beep. Go ahead. Is somebody there?
Hi there. My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah. This is Justine. What can I do for you?
Hi. I was just kind of curious, for 2009, what do you kind of feel that will be like prominent for me with relationship-wise?
As I spoke earlier in the show, I don't read this way, like through the phone. I read strictly through the cards, like having you handle the cards. And I have a belief system, and I believe that what one expects is what one gets. And I would suggest that you go get yourself a deck of cards. I'm sure that you would love them. I suggest the Universal Weight Deck. There are many tarot books out there. Of course, I want you to buy mine, which is Rebirth of the Oracle. And it is very up-to-date and modern. It describes the archetypes of certain people. And what you could do is do a three-card spread for yourself, which is issue, action, outcome. Take three of the cards, look, or even pull the court cards and see which one comes up and read the description. You can read cards for yourself. It is not difficult. But for me to stretch across, I don't know, where are you calling from, Lisa?
Oh, Michigan.
Michigan. I'm in Ohio. We're not too far apart. But for me to stretch across the miles like that, I'm not going to be able to give you an accurate reading. However, if you handled the deck of cards, I would tell you down to the month when you were going to meet somebody, what he would be like, et cetera. That's how accurate cards are. But I also want it to be known that you can do that for yourself. You have that much power. And I wish you success.
Lisa, she did say at the beginning of the show that 2009, by fall, by September, everything is going to turn around and be wonderful.
Yes, so that is. I'm getting it in almost every reading that I do. And, in fact, it got a little uncanny. I started to notice it in September of 2008. I started to notice it. And it was giving me the year. Now it's getting down to definition, definite dates. It's telling me Virgo, so I'm assuming that August or September, give or take a day or two, we're going to start to see wonderful things happening. And I really sincerely believe that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling in. But, Justine, we were talking about the health. We've only got about another 5 minutes. What about the cups? What health problems do they have?
The common thing I found with cup people is depression. 54% of cup people suffer from depression. Why? The reason is the cup people, the king, the queen, the knight, they're very intuitive people. When you are constantly bombarded by the energies of other people, whether it's good or bad, you're a cup person, you're picking it up. And which is why many cup people become, and I've noticed this with you, when there's a large crowd, when it's lunchtime, you like to go off by yourself. Do you know what I mean? Few moments of being by yourself. That's to regroup because you are constantly, Dolores, by the way, for any of the listeners, is a queen of cups, as am I. And
that's
we are bombarded by everybody else's emotions. Well, that can get depressing if you don't know what you're up against. And so 54% of cup people are treated for depression, and then realizing the queen of cups, the king of cups, that's hearts. Therefore, attach it to the heart. Depression, okay. A lot of cup people suffer from high blood pressure. Many cup people suffer from ailments of the digestive system because in being the kind of intuitive person that we are, many of us don't like to declare it, and we swallow it. I would say fully 40% of queens of cups that I've met have had gallbladder surgery. I find that astronomical and amazing. But those are the mostly it's depression, and then with the high blood pressure, the cholesterol, the lead-ins to heart disease, and then, of course, the stomach. Have you had any of those things?
Not with me. I did have high blood pressure, but we brought it under control with the natural, the homeopathic.
Oh, that's
thing.
Right. I remember. That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but with me, the crowd, sometimes the energy can be overwhelming.
It certainly can be. And when you have people, you know, wanting to get inside your head, it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
But
everybody, they're all coming at you from so many different directions.
And then when you're a tough person like you, you want to help everybody. And then when you've got a crowd like you, I know you get thousands of people. I don't know. What do you do? I mean, I'm sure you can be overwhelmed by it.
Yeah,
and I've known you, I mean, for a long time. I know that you like to retire. You like to have your quiet, your privacy. Well, I can see why.
You got to get away from it. Okay, but
right.
Anyway, we're coming down to the time, but Justine is going to be at our conference again. We'll be talking more about the conference as we get closer. But in June, it's June 12th to the 14th, we're having our fourth conference, the Transformation Conference here at Fayetteville, Arkansas. And Justine is going to be there again. And Justine, this time we said we were going to set your appointments before you come.
Yeah, that's what Julia said. That's better. And then knowing that I'm going to bring the Last Answer girls than anybody that wants a reading, and I will guarantee that you will have a good reading using any of the women I've trained. And then, of course, I have, you know, I'll take as many appointments as I can take, and all the girls will, and we'll try to get all several hundred of those people if they want readings in. Our fee is $50 for a half an hour, and in that half an hour, you will know everything that you want to know when we're done.
Okay, and I figured this way, if they call the office and make the appointment, then you won't be overwhelmed when we get there. But it's going
right.
to be June the 12th to the 14th, and we'll be sending out notices as we get closer. But if you call the office, you know, the publishing company is Ozark Mountain Publishing. If you call the office at 1-800-935-0045, and we can try to get up some kind of a calendar or schedule for Justine and set the appointments. And
yeah, because a lot of people were disappointed. I felt so badly last year, and that's what Julia and I thought, well, I'm sure you guys discussed it, but get them all set up ahead of time so that I'm not overwhelmed like that. And I've had people are wonderful to me. Since you've published my book, my world is completely, it's just opened into a whole new life, and people love to get readings. And I've had people come to me from other states. They'll fly here, and I live in Ohio, and there's a little sort of an old-time resort area here called Geneva on the Lake, and they have a lodge there. It's very beautiful. And a lot of people will stay at the lodge, and then they'll come to my house, and they'll have a reading, and I'll make them lunch because I'm so honored that people will travel from Texas to have a reading. But I have a great time with it, and I do love to read cards. I used to be a librarian, and I remember watching the clock. Now with tarot, I love it. I love what I do. I love teaching people about it, and I want to make a difference, and I want people to know that tarot can make a difference. I encourage anybody out there that's listening to get a deck of cards for yourself. Get my book. You can get it. You can get it in the bookstores, but you have them right there, don't you, Dolores, at Ozark Mountain. They can get them, right?
That's what I was going to say. They can order them through us with the same 800 number, or you can go online. With our website is Ozark Mountain, but it's abbreviated, OZARKMT.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. The name of the book is The Rebirth of the Oracle by Justine Alessi. And we encourage you to do this. But Justine, now we've run out of time. I'm going to have
to
say goodbye.
And it was wonderful talking to you.
I want to thank you for coming on. And
my pleasure.
I'll probably have you on again right before the conference when I start interviewing all the speakers. But you
I would love to do that. Thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, good night, and thank you for everything. And good night, everybody out there.
Good night. Thank you.